Welcome to the Embodiment Conference. This channel, Trauma and Social Change, it's absolutely the moment for that, isn't it? I'm Steve Hoskinson. I'm the founder of Organic Intelligence. I've been teaching in this area of trauma, embodiment, and social change for about 25 years. It's an honor, really, for us to be sponsoring this channel where we're going to hear a multiplicity of voice, all unique contributors to our collective understanding of how to move from trauma and support then social change. Our unique voice in organic intelligence has something to do with a koan that I'd like to present to you, which is trauma means unintegrated resource. And that's a koan, and if you'd like and are feeling intrigued about that riddle, then tune in to the post-trauma system development course that we are offering here. The coupon code that'll get you half off on that is ENJOY. Now, enjoy this next presentation, and we'll look forward to another meaningful time as we explore these topics, trauma and social change. Enjoy.
So I am very, very proud to present today our next speaker, who is Nir Esterman, from Israel. I absolutely love Nir, and judging by the numbers on this call, he's really a big deal. Nir is a teacher of intergenerational healing and shadow work. He's a developer of shadow constellations, a family constellations teacher in the Constellation Path, which is the International Institute for the Study of Systemic Constellations. And he is an interdisciplinary therapist and shadow work teacher at EFC Russia. And Nir, you were the person who actually, with whom my journey at EFC started. What was it, 5 years ago? I was invited as an interpreter. Yeah, I was invited as an interpreter. And the first module that I interpreted was yours, deep into shadow work straight away. So this is why it's so special for me to be hosting this session today. By the way, my name is Julie and I'm the channel manager for Trauma and Social Change. I am very happy to be hosting Nir, who is presenting a session on healing intergenerational trauma. And this is going to be an embodied shadow work journey. Nir, the floor is yours.
Thank you so much, Julie. So it was very brave of you to jump straight into the shadows. Hi, everybody. It is a great pleasure. And my body is filled with excitement with being here today, talking to you, with you, towards the short part of the path we'll go together today. One thing that I want to say, which is technical, please, if you want to see just me, choose speaker view. And if you feel like seeing all the group together, then you can put a gallery view if it's easier for you. So where do we begin? I hail from Israel and I live and teach here and also abroad, mostly in Russia, in Moscow, and lately much more online. My focus is on the shadow, on how the shadow affects our relationships, or at least our meaningful relationships, our personal relationship within ourselves. What can we allow ourselves to be, both personally and professionally? On the collective level, how does collective shadows affect our collective consciousness, our national shadows, our tribe shadows? I'm a body-mind therapist for over 17 years. So a lot of my research comes from working with people in the clinic and also with working with groups, mostly of therapists, facilitators, practitioners, healers of all kinds. What I aim for today in this session is first to have fun. I hope you like the kind of fun I'm offering. And if not, it's perfectly fine as well. To have fun in meeting parts of ourselves and of the culture and society and tribe, which we are usually not in touch with. I aim that we finish this session understanding more about the shadow, both in our consciousness or on our mental level, but also in our body, in our emotional body, physical body, on our psyche, on the soul level, on the collective level. And to have you experience the work, or at least some parts of the work of shadow constellations, which is a very deep way to work with our shadows and very practical at the same time. So all this talk about shadow, what is the shadow? The shadow is a Jungian term for the self parts which we disowned, meaning we truly feel and believe that we are not like that. That we don't have this usually disgusting or horrifying things inside us. Anything can go into the shadow. I can have certain emotions in the shadow, for example, anger. Like from my family, we're very polite and we don't shout and we don't have big fights and we talk about things. And in general, anger, expressive anger, is not something that is really well accepted. So for me, I grew up with anger being in my shadow. It made me very pleasant and very easy person to be with. At the same time, it made me maybe slightly less boring or not so much of, like my character couldn't fully come out because I was busy not even to read situations where there could be anger, where there could be a conflict or a fight. For some people, the entire emotional range is in the shadow. They're like, why should you have emotions? Think, be logical, be practical, or be spiritual. And if you're spiritual enough, you don't have to go through all these difficult emotions. And the same way, for some people, the spiritual level will be cut off and disowned. Like, yeah, we just live in the here and now. Religion and faith is for other people. Ideologies could be in the shadow. Try growing up in Moscow with any ideology which involves acquiring wealth and money. Julie could tell us something about that. Some parts of our body could be in the shadow. For example, in the Western cultural shadow, the belly, in the Western culture, the belly is in the shadow of so many women. Like, you're not supposed to have a belly, or at least you're not supposed to have any belly which is not flat, which is really strange when you kind of think about it, but we just live like that. Like, if it's not flat enough, we should cover it and work on it to make it flatter and nicer looking and whatever. Unless you're pregnant, then it's okay, but otherwise, then you have to go back. And if you don't go back to yourself, as if you have a big tummy, you're not yourself. The entire body can be in the shadow. And again, in the Western culture in general, we could say that the body is mostly in the shadow. Like I heard Mark Walsh often quote, he said, the body is more than a brain taxi. Well, if it is a brain taxi for some people, it means they're disembodied. I'm not sure because they have a body, but the body is in the shadow, which means they're not in touch with the body, or that they're in touch with the body only in very limited ways. Like, I can have a body when I'm doing sports, and I can have a body when I'm doing sex, and I can have a body when I need to carry stuff from the supermarket, but I don't have to be in touch with my body. I can just use it and oil it once in a while with a good massage and feed it with the right food. But that doesn't mean I'm in touch with my body. So the body at large has been in the shadow. And one of the things I love so much about this conference is a big time taking the body much further away from the shadow and into the light of our consciousness. So anything that I'm completely unaware of. Anything which I deny is in me or repress, so I don't know about it. Anything which I cannot be in touch with would be in my full shadow. Like, I don't even know I'm like that. Have you ever had this unpleasant experience of trying to show your romantic partner something they didn't see about themselves, and for you was very clear? Like, how can't you see that you are this? Did you have this interesting experience? This is a question for the panelist. Did you try that? How was it? Did they just say, oh, thank you for letting me see that about myself, I'm so grateful? Raise your hand if that was the answer. Mine isn't going to go up. Well, usually what happens is like, what are you talking about? I'm not like that. I'm hurt that you even think that I'm like that. How dare you tell me I'm like that? You are like that. These are the typical answers we get when you try to force people to meet their shadows. It's not a very useful habit, even if very momentarily satisfying. So how can we have a shadow? Why can't we just be ourselves? Why can't we be our full potential and be everything that we can be? What's wrong with us? Anyone have a guess? You can write in the chat. How come we have a shadow? I mean, Jung didn't invent the shadow, we just gave us the concept. How come we have a shadow? Panelists, you can unmute and say something, and other people, you can just write in the chat. And the answers are running too fast for me to read, and I'm a quick reader. But still, yeah. But I've seen some of the answers already there, so I'll quote them. The shadow is born in our family. In the family we were born to, that raised us, in the culture that we grew up in. The shadow is born in the traumas of the past generations. Whatever was not possible to deal with, whatever was too much, was traumatic in the past generations, created some sort of a split between what is acceptable, what would help us survive, and what would endanger our survival. And thus the shadow is formed. And after a generation or two, we don't know the reasons anymore. They don't tell us that our great grandfather was in war and he killed lots of people and almost died himself. And from that moment on, 150 years ago, our family need to know how to fight in order to survive. And if you can't fight and if you're weak or pacifist, you can't be a part of this family. We learn this on the unconscious level. We learn it when with this example, we become weak, we exhibit our weakness or something that feels like weakness in our family, and suddenly people are disgusted with us or tell us, man up or woman up, whatever, and stop whining, or you're hungry? Ask your grandfather from the Holocaust what does hungry really means, all right? And if you're not hungry like he was, then shut up. The shadow triggers us. Anytime we see our shadow in other people, in psychology, it's called projection. Anytime we project our shadow on other people, we can't stand it because we can't stand it within ourselves. So we can't stand them. So first quick tip, whenever anyone annoys you and you have any judgments on them, whatever, and no matter how true you feel your judgments to be, chances are that if you're having judgment and you can't find empathy in you, that you're currently triggered, And usually, on the relationship level, we are triggered by what is in our shadow. So some people are just annoying, right? Well, they're annoying because they exhibit a lot of what we can't stand. Some people are annoying only at times. We tend to marry them and to have serious relationships with them. Okay, why is that? It's because the shadow does not only repel or makes us angry, the shadow also have attraction for us. Think about it. Suppose that within me, for whatever reason, I had to take away, I don't know, the helpless part. Who likes to be helpless, right? Well, not in Israel, anyway. We have to survive with all these difficult political relationships and Holocaust and 2,000 years of being subject to other people. So, yeah, you just can't allow yourself to be helpless. And I'm a man after all, so there is also like gender shadows here. So suppose I really disowned my helplessness and I'm really very practical and so like have an opposite persona. So I'm very practical and I can solve any problem and I'm always will land on my feet and whenever there is an issue, I'll somehow solve it. That's really, I like my persona, by the way. We all like our personas, okay? It's because we feel that this is how we should be. This is what we will be loved for and appreciated for. If we are like our personas, then maybe we will belong. We will be allowed to belong. So I can't be helpless and I have to be omnipotent or very capable or some other persona from this part of the spectrum. And by the way, I'm both. I'm sometimes helpless and I'm sometimes very capable. But what a shadow does, it creates, or how we react to our shadow, we create a distance inside us, a chasm. It's like behind me, where I can't see, in my back, in my lower parts, deep inside my body, I hide my shadow. And in the front, where you all can see with my hands and my smiling face, you see the good me, the me which I believe you will love and like and want to tell good things about to other people. And that if I manage to be just like that, that finally I'm good. I will be loved and belong and have belonging forever. So suppose I took away this helplessness. In the body, what happens in my body, in the place where my helplessness used to be? And every emotion, every sensation are somehow in our body, right? We sense them in our body. What happened? We took something away. What happened? Well, the short answer is that we created a vacuum, a void. And a void always wants to be filled. Sometimes we fill it with addictions. Drugs, alcohol, sex, porn, food, Facebook, work, and choose your preferred addiction. There are many. But to be honest, what a void would really want to be filled with is with the exact same thing that was there before. So chances are that I will be on a subconscious level, attracted to helpless people. Maybe I will be attracted as a therapist. Hey, it's good as a therapist to like helpless people, right? Well, not really. Because once they are helpless in the clinic, maybe I won't like them as much because I can't really stand helplessness. So I will be reactive or have judgments or not be as empathic as I could be. But also on the romantic level, I would be attracted to partners who have enough helplessness to feel that I am bonding with my lost parts, that I can finally be at home. Oh, there is this magical sensation that with you I can be whole. Now, how come with you I can be whole? Well, the answer is simple. I see in you what I cannot be in touch with inside me. So together, we can be whole. And that's lovely. And it holds for a while, 3 months, 3 years, until a certain amount of children arrive to the family or leave the family. And at some point, it's not enough. It's not enough because one of us changed and we managed to be in touch with our shadows, and suddenly we don't need our partners for that. So we need to have more than one shadow, yes? more than one shared shadow with our partner, if we want to survive that. Or we can grow and find ways to deeply connect and enhance our relationship, not through filling our holes, but by building together new things. And for many people, this is a very advanced stage. Like, some people need to go to several years of therapy to reach that stage, but where they can actually say, I don't need you anymore. Now I have to find why I really want you. Now that I don't need you, I can just choose you. Wow, it's really not simple. I know it's not simple for me. It's much easier to be needed and to need the other person. It's so much safer. Like, if you don't need me, then you can just go away. I mean, one day you can want me, the next day you won't want me, and then what? This is really unsettling. It can be really frightening, anxious raising, because we all have abandonment issue, right? So it calls for quite a growth to meet our shadows. But when we agree to do that, then we have a chance for completely different relationships. With romantic partners, with clients, with co-workers, with our children, because you don't really know that you have finished your work with a certain shadow unless you see your children completely embody this shadow and you stay sane. Normally what happens is we do our work, we feel better, it's easier with the partner, it's easier in the clinic, and then the children are like, what are you doing? Stop doing that! Who said that? So, yeah. If you think about it, the same happens between tribes, between nations. The other, the different person is the enemy, is the demon. They have the shadows, we have the light. It's a very tribal thing, like we are the good guys. We take care of our own, they're just aggressive. Now, shadow work in a way says that we all have everything in us, right? We just chose at some point in our life and sometimes even in the womb, what will continue to be with us and what we choose give away, and there are there is a price for that, and a price is disconnection, because we have to disconnect from the shadow. The price is being in war inside us, because the shadow keeps trying to go out and to get some life. And you can sense that, for example, when you say, I don't know why I acted like that. It wasn't me, or it's not like me to speak or do things like that. Politicians use this a lot, like, oh, it was a private conversation. I was really upset. It's really not like me. I apologize. Let's forget about it. And we do the same in kindergarten, right? The kindergarten teacher says, apologize and say you will not do it again. And forgive him. And then we can continue, right? And in our kindergarten, we're never violent, okay? Now we can continue with this masquerade, or if we're not like that, with the collective persona. And different cultures have different shadows. So in some cultures, it's good to be strong and not good to be weak, but in some other cultures, it's very Like, if you're not showing your weakness, you're unauthentic. If you come as strong, then you're disconnected. In some cultures, you have to be loyal to society, and in other cultures, you have to be loyal to yourself. And then in some other cultures, to entire humanity. And saying cultures is not just nations, right? Like, I belong to the culture of therapists and facilitators, and I belong to the culture of people who have some origins in Europe. And I belong to the culture of people who served in the Israeli army because I had to. 3 years, it's compulsory. So we belong to many cultures, and each one of them influences us and our shadows. So how do we react to the shadow? 6 common reactions. 1 is fight. We feel like we want to hit the other person, to shake them back into being all right. We feel that we're better than them, that we should educate them either by force or by explaining. We feel that we prefer they die, or at least not have children. Okay, these are 5 symptoms. When you feel that about a person, be it to a small degree or to a large degree, don't ignore it. Pay attention. It says this person is activated. Something about this person activates me. Interesting, what is it? For years, I felt so bad about myself in the clinic when I was unempathic, even inside me towards someone. Or when I didn't want to walk with a person, I felt really bad. Like, why don't I have enough space in my heart for this person? Until I began to understand, it's not a person I don't have enough place in my heart for. It's for my shadow I don't have enough space in my heart for. And this person allows me to see that, so I can turn back into myself and do my work. And then interesting things happen with the clients. So we have fight, we have flight. I'm disgusted, I don't want to be a part of this relationship. I can't believe I married this person. These children are yours, let's be clear about that. This behavior didn't come from me or my family. I can't stay in this workplace if you're like that, because I'm not like that. Then we have freeze and faint, which of course have a lot to do with direct trauma, but not only. And sometimes we just freeze in the face of our shadows. Like, we act as if everything is normal, but inside us we're frozen. And sometimes we faint, so we get tired and want to sleep, or actually faint, or just have a blackout. And think about how many times, especially you professionals, you're sitting in front of a person, or, you know, it could be your romantic partner, and they tell us something, and suddenly we're tired. And a moment ago, we weren't tired, and suddenly we are tired. What happened? What happened is we just met something we can't be in touch with. So we shut down. It's a feint. The other 2 Fs go to friends, which means, well, she's my client, but I would actually like to have a beer with her. Or he's my client, and to be honest, I would like to know, where does he buy his clothes, because it looks so good on him. And okay, if I have this kind of thoughts, I'm not crazy and I'm not unethical. It just means I'm reactive towards, there is something in there I would like for myself as well. I would like to be in touch with, I would like to be close with. On some levels, you could call it golden shadows. I can admire it even. And the last F is simply fuck. We want to physically connect and combine with the shadow. We want to feel it back. And if when we meet people that have in them visible a lot of our shadow and vice versa, the attraction is sometimes really powerful. The relationship is usually very difficult, but attraction is very powerful. Like, we want to get together. Physically, we want to be one. So if you have any of this, you're just a human being and you're reactive, take a supervision or do your own supervision and look into which other aspects are at work here. Okay, enough theory, let's do some work. Are you ready? All right. So, I invite you to think, before that, you don't have to do anything. Everything I tell you is a suggestion, is a path. You may walk it, you may choose not to walk it, you may choose to walk just parts of it, okay? If it's too much, do it less or just step back or resource yourself or center yourself with whatever tools you have. I'm not intending to go directly into trauma, but shadow and trauma are so heavily interlinked, so, okay? And if you get stuck with something, get in touch with me later and I will help you out. And I'm aware that we are 543 people, but usually just very few really get stuck. So just know that you're not alone, okay? Yeah, let's begin. So please think about someone that you have a relationship with them, a meaningful relationship. It could be your partner, your romantic partner from past or present. It could be a coworker or a client or a patient. It could even be a child or a parent if you're really brave and want to go straight to the depth. Just think about them for a moment. Imagine them in your mind's eye. And also imagine yourself in your mind's eye. So to speak, you take yourself to this space where you can see yourself and you can see that other meaningful person. And take your awareness into yourself, into this, into this representation in your mind's eye of yourself, in the presence of that other person. And pay attention to your body. How are you in the body right now? How is your weight? Heavy, light, changing? Do you feel comfortable or not, or somewhat? Does your body want to move or to stay just like that, or some body parts? What happened to your breathing? How is your posture? Does anything pulls or pushes you to any direction? Down, up, to the sides, forward, backwards? Just curiously pay attention. Does anything ache? Or become more loose? How emotional are you right now? Is there any specific emotion which is alive in you? Several emotions? None? Where do your thoughts go? Are you here? Are you someplace else? Do your eyes go inside of this space or outside of the room or to someplace else? Maybe you see some image or video clip or hear a sound or a song. Whatever happens to you, just notice it. You don't have to do anything about it. It's just a phenomena. And take a breath and step off your representation in your mind's eye. And move your awareness and your presence into that of the other person, this meaningful person. And allow yourself in your mind's eye to stand in their shoes, not what you think and you know or think that you know about them. Allow your body to inform you what is going on. On the physical level, on the emotional level, on the mental level, on the awareness level, on the energetic level. How much space does your partner take? Is it the same as you, more, less? How does your partner look at you? How does your partner feel you looking at them? For some of us, it's a very new experience to really stand in our partner's shoes, whatever kind of partner it is. And now let us step off. And in our mind's eye, we add another representation which can take any form. And this representation is for the role that our partner has given us in our relationship. And you don't need to know what this role is. Maybe you have some ideas about what it is. Maybe you're right. But you don't need to know. Just imagine that at your side, there is suddenly this role, which you unconsciously agreed to in this relationship, otherwise it wouldn't be here. And look at what shape this representation is, what your unconscious brought to you as this representation, and then gently connect to it with your presence, with your essence, with your awareness. And breathe. And pay attention again to your body on all levels, from the most physical to the most spiritual, from the most personal to the most relative. Most intersubjective. How do you feel when you agree to be this role? What is your interaction as this role with this partner? Can you identify this role? Maybe yes, maybe no. All is okay. Maybe you have judgments or something to say about this role or whatever you feel in it. That's okay, not is that too. And step off, please. And breathe. And now step on again on your representation, on your self. Is anything different now that we've made a distinction between yourself and the role that you agree to take subconsciously? Does it feel the same like before? Inside you, between you and this partner of any kind? How do you feel towards the role? Does it feel like you chose it willingly? Were you aware of this role when you accepted this relationship or at all? And before you become too critic about this partner who has put a role on you, please add another representation for the one you put on the partner, because you need two for a tango. And if you're in any kind of relationship which is mutual, then both of you have put roles on each other subconsciously through your shadow. So next to your partner and right in front of the role you are taking in the relationship, please add something from your mind's eye, from your unconscious, to represent the role that you have given them. And yes, you have given them a role, even if you're not aware of that. It's not because you're bad, it's just what happens. And pay attention to what happens when you're connected to your representation between you and your partner, when these roles are in the light, are visible. The roles can take many forms. They can be caretaker role, they can be abuser role, they can be I will always keep you on your toes roles. All kinds of interesting roles can be there. Yeah. To make the picture a little more complete and maybe a little easier, we will now add one more presentation. This one is for one of our shadows. A shadow which is connected with these roles. And we don't need to understand how and why it is connected. So imagine that behind you, there is another representation. This one representing something inside you that you are not in touch with. Which has something to do with these roles. And we're working on a subconscious level, so you don't need to understand. Just allow your subconscious to bring this. And stay on your representation, on your role, on your own being. Has anything changed for you by adding this shadow representation? By acknowledging it exists? Does anything wish to move? Any of the representation feel like changing their position, their size? Maybe they change in their essence and how they look or smell or feel. Just allow it if it happens. Maybe the distance between you and the partner changes. Maybe you feel differently about each other. And imagine yourself turning around and facing this shadow and breathing and facing. Imagine you look this shadow in the eyes. How does it feel now? What happens in your body when you stare at your shadow face on? Breathe and allow that. And after you feel anything moving, even small, or maybe bigger than that, let your eyes look further away. And invite your unconscious, and this time we're addressing your family unconscious, your collective unconscious. Invite it to bring something to represent the original circumstances that resulted eventually in the creation of this shadow in your family. And you don't need to know what is the issue or what happened there. Just know that if there is a shadow, then there were circumstances, difficult ones. And look through your shadow to the circumstances. Maybe you get very clear information or maybe just a sense of what happened there. Both are okay. Maybe also you don't want to look there, and that's also okay. Take a deep breath. And when you look there, to whatever past, close or very far, invite your collective unconscious, our collective unconscious, all of us in this session, collective unconscious, to offer a representation for a healing movement for whatever happened there. It's a very open suggestion. Ask your personal family and our collective unconscious to bring a representation for a healing movement of that, for that past. And just stand where you are and allow whatever would like to change in your mind's eye to move, to change form, substance, distance, relationships. Keep breathing. Be in touch with your body. At the same time, you're going far, far away from your physical body. Hold both in your attention. Take another deep breath. And whenever you feel it's enough, and also we are short on time, so take what you can now from this process. It can take longer. Imagine yourself just doing this movement, or just do this movement of accepting whatever change or healing can come from these circumstances now that they receive this healing movement. Allow it to come through the shadow and sort of embrace yourself. And when you do that and your hands go through your shadow, you're inviting this specific shadow to be embraced back into your being, into all of our being, simultaneously at the same time. Take another breath and turn back towards the partner. How is it now with them? Do the roles want to move or change? Does the relationship feel different in any way? It's okay if not. Know that some changes are immediate, while some other are immediate, but the effect takes more time to be visible. And Julie, I see the watch, I see the clock, so I will now invite you for a final deep breath. And on the exhale, release this mind's eye space and come back here now to our mutual Zoom space. of the conference land here. Thank you so much for joining me on this specific journey. And I hope it was meaningful to you as well. I wish I had more time for Q&A. We'll see if we have a couple of minutes for that. I just want to say again, if you got stuck and you have questions, please feel free to contact me. Patricia will put now in the chat, and maybe Patricia also in the Q&A, because the chat moves so fast. Put my contact details alongside with links to my next courses and workshops, and you're most welcome to. And yeah, anything to share or to ask? We have 3 minutes. Let's see.
Yes, we do. Thank you so much, Nir. I always love the gentle and deep way in which you work with the subject of shadow. There is a question in the chat. We have 3 minutes, so we'll see how many we can get through. The one that's been liked most often is, how do you distinguish between someone who triggers your shadow and someone who triggers you because of past abuse?
Great question. Let's see if I have a fast answer. One answer is that we don't always know. A second answer is that if we assume it's shadow triggering, and do some shadow work, and the triggering hasn't changed at all, it's most likely more traumatic triggering. I think a third answer would be that we ask ourselves, who do I become when I'm triggered like that? Like, what is the role that I am in when I'm triggered like that? And if the role is that of a victim, then chances are that it has to do at least partially with some sort of abuse or trauma. And very often we tend to be more abused or to be more abusive because of shadows that we are not in touch with. So it's a very vicious circle here.
And if possible, one more.
Yes.
How do I discern if my shadow is triggered or if it is my boundary being breached after I've established healthy boundaries?
Well, when your boundary has been breached after you've established healthy boundaries, you just reestablish it. It's like, get out of here. What are you doing? So like, what are you doing? I told you to never cross my boundary again. Well, or I can't believe it. She crossed my boundaries again. What a bitch. You know, if you actually, if you really have the boundaries right from a well-established place within you. So if someone crosses them, like, you do what needs to be done to take them back out, but you're not triggered necessarily that badly. We often misunderstand that if we're triggered enough, it means that we are right and that we are powerful and that we can do something about a situation. But actually, when we're not triggered, we are usually in a much better position to do something about a situation.
Thank you so very much, Nir. I thought that was very powerful. Thank you. So if Patricia has some more links for us, you can see all the links to Nia's websites and programs in the chat. There are some announcements I'd like to make. If you would like to chat to each other, and I'm talking about participants, since many of you were not able to have your videos on, you are very welcome to join the coffee break rooms, which can be accessed either through the portal or I think Patricia is going to post a link in the chat right now. And these are breakout rooms, Zoom meetings that you can meet other participants in and integrate what you've just heard better. You're welcome to join our Facebook group to find out all the news and extra materials from presenters. And if you would like to keep this presentation. Remember that this video will be available on the portal for another 48 hours. Please allow at least 1 hour for us to get it onto the portal. But after that, yes, that will be 48 hours. And it is hardly possible to watch everything in the time of the conference, because there are many sessions happening in parallel. So what you can do is you can choose to upgrade and buy the conference recordings. This is an opportunity to kind of digest this in your own time. It is also an expression of thanks to us if you would like to do that. And it also, these purchases allow us to actually put this conference on and make it available free of charge for everyone live. There are also some extra features on there, like summary notes for every session, audio only downloads, and sessions will be grouped into learning lists, which kind of helps digest this a bit better. So with that being said, Nia, I would like to hand over to you for the final minute. Can you give us your top tip for being more embodied?
Oh. My top tip. Well, I really like the question of what happened. Because every time we get less embodied, it means that something happened outside or inside. And if we just once in a while ask what happened, it will automatically make us link back and connect back to what is now and what has just happened, and allow us to get back in touch with our body. So that would be my top half a minute tip.
Thank you very much, Nia.
Thank you, Julie. Thank you, everybody.
Been a pleasure. So thank you so much for tuning in. We will be closing this room shortly, and you are welcome. There's lots of love going on in the chat. Nia, this was absolutely amazing. Thank you so very much. You participants are welcome to go and chat in the coffee break rooms, and we hope to see you at the next session. So the next session is not happening on the Trauma and Social Change channel. It's not happening on any of the other channels. It is happening on the main stage, which is, I believe, Gabor Maté with Compassionate Inquiry. So you are welcome to join that as well. However, I do advise you to take a break. You can go chat to someone in a coffee break room. Make sure you take care of yourself. Leave the screen for a while. And then if you want, if you're ready, you're welcome to join the next session. Thank you so much, Nia. It's a real pleasure.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Julie. Thank you, Patricia.